Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, October the 24th. Talking with the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin this hour, Joe Winicky, about the state budget that passed last night in both houses of the legislature. We'll talk about some of the key elements in this new budget, how it will affect you. You're listening right now, and that's one way that it affects you. The funds for public broadcasting, public radio, and TV were restored in this budget agreement that passed after the Republican Assembly eliminated them in its first version of the budget. So in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm happy with the budget for that reason. But what else or who else is breathing a sigh of relief today, or who is bummed out? And what will be the fate of some of the issues taken out of the budget, like Healthy Wisconsin, the universal health care plan? We will get Joe Winicky's take on all of those issues today, and we will talk with a Republican Party spokesperson in the near future. We welcome your thoughts and reactions on this state budget at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joe Winicky is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's also a former state senator from Verona, and he's been through this budget process a few times. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Have you ever seen anything like this last budget process?
No, and sure, there's been gridlock, and we've had split government before, but I think the part that just surprised me the most was that it literally took the governor calling a special session of the legislature to get the Republicans and Democrats to quit talking past each other. It was like they were talking to the media and not to each other, and the proof in the pudding on that is they hardly ever met.
Yeah.
Well, we can blame Tom Nelson. I thought that was kind of cute, too.
Because he was a whole
but, you know, he was right
assembly.
On. He was right on because the public doesn't always catch the nuance of every issue in a budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, I keep my ears open at the grocery store, for example.
They knew about that.
They understand that the legislature wasn't getting its job done.
Mm-hmm.
And so congratulations, well, Tom Nelson.
What? And he's out of there now, right?
He went home. I assume he wouldn't take a warm shower.
No.
Eat something besides mozzarella sticks.
Well, you know, so was this a budget worth the nearly 4 month wait?
Well, I mean, in the end, if you really want to get down to it, the budget that was adopted is largely the governor's original budget that was introduced in February, which, you know, the Republicans had their proposals, the Democrats had their proposals, which was led by the Healthy Wisconsin Initiative. And in the end, when it comes back to it, and I think I was on this show shortly after the budget was introduced, at that time, the governor had several priorities. One, he wanted to make sure that every child in this state had access to health care, and that was retained in Badger Care Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say we lost the health care debate, no, we lost the Healthy Wisconsin debate, but I think it was because of Healthy Wisconsin that we were able to get the governor's proposal adopted. Second, another major initiative that the governor proposed originally was the Wisconsin Covenant that would say that if you keep your nose clean and a B average in high school, you're going to get a chance to go to school no matter what you make.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that proposal's in this document. The third was to make sure that we continued to fund K-12 education at a high level, a two-thirds level, and also make sure that we're not undercutting the University of Wisconsin system. And unlike the Republicans who decided that, you know, we should eliminate public radio and television funding and we should get rid of the school for workers and all the other stuff they did, we were able to keep all that stuff in place. And then finally, on the environment, which I know is important to many listeners on this show, the governor wanted to make sure the stewardship fund was extended. And, you know, the Republicans wanted to put $25 million in it and extend it for nothing, and the Democrats wanted $100. Well, we got $85 million for stewardship, which I think is a really good program. So you look at it, the governor got most of what he wanted. It was because I would argue that the Republicans went too far in their budget, and too much has been made about the Democrats' loss of Healthy Wisconsin, because I believe it's Healthy Wisconsin that allowed us to get kids in the state health care coverage.
All right. Well, besides dropping the Healthy Wisconsin proposal, what else didn't the Democrats or Governor Doyle get that they wanted?
Well, if it comes down to it, I would say that one of the things that's been frustrating for me as an observer of politics in recent years is that we continue, because we're so afraid of raising revenue, whether in this case, you know, the Democrats want to do the oil tax and the assessment on hospitals and smokes, which, by the way, are not general taxes, then the average person isn't paying them. But what Republicans, they have a funny way of doing this. They say they're for protecting taxpayers and not raising taxes, but they spend just as much as the Democrats. But the difference is they just borrow it into the future. That'll get a phone call from somebody.
We'll see. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call to react to the state budget, which has finally passed the state legislature last night. It's now on the governor's desk.
Joy, yes, you had a successful fun drive last week.
We did.
Which means Leo should be able to make better coffee.
Leo Duran says he's a producer and not a barista. So
well, that's for sure, and I attest to that.
I don't think I'm going to have any of that coffee. We're talking with Joe Winicky. He is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's giving us his take on the state budget. And we welcome yours, too. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October the 24th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6, and Ben will be talking about current issues of the day. We are talking about the state budget. The stalemate is over. The state Senate and the Assembly passed the budget last night. We are talking with the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Joe Winicky, about the budget process, talking about what's in this final compromise, the budget winners, the budget losers. Maybe we'll talk some about whether there ought to be a law to make sure the budget is done on time next time. And we welcome your questions for Joe and or your reactions to this budget. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and community with your email. A caller did call in, and it says here he wants to know if the budget helps tuition coverage for veterans. He's a veteran himself, and he hopes that the state will help him afford a higher education. Do you know, Joe Winicky?
Yes, I do. And yes, the answer is after it was the funding was eliminated, it was restored in the compromise. So if you're a veteran and you're looking at tuition help for a technical college or university, you got it. Mm-hmm. Another good thing that happened in the compromise.
Lynn in Platteville is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm just concerned about the use of the Patients Compensation Fund as part of the budget, and would like your speaker to explain that.
Yeah, so $200 million from this Patient Compensation Fund that's used supposed to be used for malpractice suits was transferred into the general fund. Is that right?
Well, yeah, and here I go getting in trouble again. A raid is a raid is a raid, and this was a raid. We, you know, both parties saw that the fund supposedly, and this is not an area I understand completely, but supposedly has more money than the actuarial need. It wouldn't have been my first choice. I noticed that it actually went up in the compromise to $200 yeah. million. Dollars. My biggest concern, besides the fact that it's really not taxpayer money, I mean, it's one of the, look, this is a $58 billion budget, 57-something. There are going to be some things in here that we don't necessarily think might be best, but sometimes, you know, when you got to grind the sausage together, you're going to get a couple of things that don't look right. And, you know, for me personally, this is not general money. It's the money the doctors paid in. And second, I would have to say that it's one-time money used to pay for ongoing programs, which I think is risky.
Yeah. Just in case people, they probably are aware, but some of the elements of this budget, a dollar increase in the cigarette tax will kick in on January 1st. The original proposal was a $1.25 hike, and then there was the Republicans offered a 75-cent hike, and it settled on a dollar. No big surprise there, Joe.
Well, to quote Homer Simpson, "Doh!" Yeah, they're going to cut the deal. Now, I mean, this is the only place where Republicans agree to tax, I mean, because only like 18% of the people smoke, so it's easy to go get them. But, you know, at some point, I guess I believe that if tobacco is so bad, why don't we just ban it rather than use it to fund programs? But, you know, It's the easiest source of money there is. And so we do it again. We continue this thing, and it's bipartisan. And someday, if cigarettes get to 10 or 20 bucks a pack, maybe people will quit.
And driving. no comment. It says here that if the buck a pack tax hike doesn't make smokers ditch the habit, the state will also spend $30 million more on smoking cessation and prevention programs.
Oh, and I think at least you're using funding. Part of the funding, I think it's $350 million over the biennium. 10% of that or so is going to go to smoking cessation, and that's great. Now, remember, we're funding ongoing programs again with money that if we get our goal, which, you know, the Cancer Society and others would like, is to reduce smoking levels, that's also going to reduce the amount of money that comes in on these programs. And if I only have one complaint on this budget, I think I was kind of clear on it earlier, is we continue to set up the future by spending money today that would may not be there 5 years from now.
Yeah. Another caller, Paul in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joel. This is Emma. Physician, and I guess I'm upset with the rate of the patient's compensation fund, and I'm sorry I was talking to your screener while you were answering the last question, so I hope you haven't answered this. But this fund was set up. It's private money. It's from physicians, and it's from hospitals. There's no state money in it at all, and it was set up to compensate injured patients and their families, and that's how in the world can the governor take this money away? Now, I heard you say that the actuaries say there was more money than is needed. That's not correct. I've been told that it's hard to predict the lifetime costs of medical malpractice, but that the actuaries say this is needed. So if $200 million is taken out, we physicians are going to be assessed another $200 million to make up for that. Why not tax the school teacher's retirement fund or the Teamsters fund or any other private fund to get this money? Why take this fund that has a definite purpose? There's no tax money in it. It seems like robbery.
I think you were on the phone because I think I largely agreed with you a moment ago. It's a raid. There is no question it's a raid. I wouldn't blame this just on the governor, however. It went up during the compromise, and that meant the Republicans agreed to that as well. One of the dangers of having pots of money, and I don't know if you remember, Paul, back when the tobacco settlement occurred with the national tobacco companies, and we had like $1.3 billion coming in. Well, then Governor McCallum used that money to bail out a budget, and it was one-time money, and it caused future problems down the road, led to a $3 billion deficit. I'm not going to condone the patient compensation rate. I can't. I just don't believe.
And the Medical Society of Wisconsin, I think, is filing some sort of suit.
Probably today. Yeah. Probably today. Yeah. And we'll let the courts deal with it. Yeah. But, there's nothing Paul said that I disagree with. Right. And I said I assume the actuaries said there was enough money.
Yeah, I know. I know that I've read that the Democrats and the governor and others were saying that there is a surplus in this fund. So that's
I'm no expert on the patient compensation fund. I just
thank you very much,
know
Paul.
What it is.
Kyle in Delavan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let you know that I disagree a little bit with the budget that got passed. And it seems like the Democratic approach is just to throw money at problems, and I don't think that's the way to solve problems. And he mentioned that $85 million got approved in the environmental program, and I think that the lands that we want to get taken care of most should be privatized, and people that actually own the lands privately will take much better care than creating this massive government sort of bureaucracy program. And also, I may be wrong on this, but I thought that Healthy Wisconsin included taxpayer-funded abortions on demand, so I'm sort of glad that did not get passed.
Well, hold on. Lots of points here, and we need to... Healthy Wisconsin did not provide taxpayer abortions.
I would be stunned if it did. I would be stunned if it did. But regardless of that, I'm just going to fundamentally disagree with Kyle. If you look at the truth of spending in the last decade or so, George Bush has been the most profligate spender of any president in American history. He's been averaging 10% a year increases. Tommy Thompson averaged 5.5% a year increases when he was governor. Jim Doyle's averaging 3.2% increases. But this is part of this branding approach Republicans do, and they've been somewhat successful on it to convince certain parts of the public to say Democrats are big spenders, Republicans protect the taxpayer. That's a bunch of hooey. Look at empirical data. And the last point for Kyle is I think that the state or the federal government does a really fine job of protecting our precious natural resources, and I'd rather have that than some developer do it.
Healthy Wisconsin will come back in the form of a separate legislation, Joe Winicky?
Yeah, I believe it has already been introduced. Mm-hmm. If it hasn't, it will be shortly. I also think the hospital assessment will come back and needs to come back. You know, hospitals were really caught between a rock and a hard place in this debate because Medicaid funding, which is the funding for people when they take care of the poor and the indigent, is down in that 50% range, and they have to make up the money somewhere, so it's going on to private pay insurance companies, which just raises everybody's insurance rates. The governor was right about the hospital assessment. Yes, it needed a couple tweaks, and it took those tweaks before the Hospital Association signed off on the program, but we had a chance to leverage the money we spend here into almost $500 million in money that would have gone to New York or California or somewhere. And I know some right-wing caller is going to come up and say, oh, but that's you act like that's not tax dollars. Well, it is tax dollars, but it's tax dollars that would have gone to Texas or New York. Why can't it come to Wisconsin?
Yeah, I don't get is if the Hospital Association dropped its opposition and essentially wanted this tax, why isn't that tax in the budget?
Well, because the Republicans didn't want it because they called it a tax. I mean, I prefer to call it an assessment. Call it what you want. The point is we were going to be able to leverage $400 million into $900 million to take care of people's health care needs in this state. But the Republicans are so convinced that they lost the 2006 elections because they have lost their soul and they need to brand themselves as these anti-tax zealots. Here, Earth to Mars, Republicans, you lost the 06 election because of George Bush's war in Iraq.
Andrea in Edgerton, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I object to the state-funded health insurance for children because it in fact discriminates against the childless. It's just another kick in the teeth for us. You know, we pay for every other thing for, you know, with from schools to we don't get any tax benefits, and I don't see how children don't have access to health insurance, and if they don't, then we need to have a separate bill that addresses that rather than, again, asking for those who are rather unfortunate to help parents who, in my mind, are fortunate.
All right, so Badger Care Plus does what, Joe Winicky?
Well, it gives access to children, I think, up to about in families of four, up to about $40,000 of income, which in this day and age does not make you rich. If they can't get access to health care, we're going to help them get that. I understand Andrea's concern, but I still think the proper role of government, if you can't take care of at least the children, I think, you know, there's just something not right there. I mean, I understand there's all kinds of gives and takes about winners and losers in tax policy. And, you know, and we do reward families at our state and federal government, and she's right about that. But I don't think that concern should take away from a program that helps kids make sure that they don't get sick. Because when they get sick, they go to emergency rooms, and who pays for it anyway?
We're talking with Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, giving us his assessment of the state budget that passed last night in the state legislature. And we welcome your assessment, your questions, your reactions. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Wednesday, October the 24th. We are talking about the state budget approved last night by the Assembly and Senate and is now on its way to the governor. We are talking about some of the key elements in this spending plan, how it affects you, and we are getting the take of Democratic Party Chair Joe Winicky about whether this is a good budget or not for the state of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this long-awaited document. It's about 3.5 months late, but Joe Winicky, better late than never?
Yeah, well, there's only two things a state legislator has to do in a two-year cycle to earn their pay. One, they get sworn in on usually that's first Tuesday in January, and they mm-hmm. swear an oath to uphold the Constitution of the state and federal government. The only other thing they have to do in 2 years is pass a budget. So they've done both their jobs.
Now, do you think, voting public is going to take it out on legislators for this delay?
Well, I think the delay will have short-term impact. And I think for people that have questions about their own legislator anyway, yeah, I think it'll have some impact. But I actually think that something else here, and yes, I'm going to sound a little partisan on this, but, you know, it's my job. For those who think I'm supposed to be bipartisan, it's not my job. But I think the larger issue of this budget is going to be that the Republicans in the Assembly did not understand the role of niche politics. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example right here with public radio and television. I mean, if there's any question, it was the Republicans that tried to eliminate funding for shows like this.
Mm-hmm.
People in that audience that really care about this may hold that against them. If you're a university professor or a state employee, and you were finding out that not only did they take all your compensation reserve money, but they were going to tax the first 5% of your pension, and they were going to make you pay more on your health care, you may remember that. If you're an environmentalist and you realize that they tried to gut the stewardship fund, you may remember that. I guess the point goes on and on and on. I think it's that failure of understanding niche politics, who, by the way, you know who the master at that was?
Who?
Tommy Thompson. Tommy Thompson was able to co-opt more groups and more Democratic-leaning groups by being nice to them and understanding that if you're nice to them, they might not hate you. And, you know, these guys just haven't learned from that. And I think that's going to be the price they pay next November.
Well, give us your partisan take on whether this is a good budget or not for the state of Wisconsin.
It's an okay budget. I mean, is it a great budget? No. How can you have a great budget when you've got two sides just, you know, I forgot this is radio, we can't do
he's punching fists together
animation. but if you go back to it, here's how I see it. And I started the show this way. I mean, the governor's the clear winner because he got the funding for public education. He got the Wisconsin Covenant. He got stewardship, and he got Badger Care Plus. The Republicans got less taxes, but who did they? I mean, and so they can argue that they were out there protecting, except the less taxes came in two places. One, a tax on oil companies. So if they really want to go say we protected ExxonMobil, I say go for it. And the other was they stopped an assessment on hospitals that the hospitals wanted. So when it comes down to John Q. Public, here, my belief on taxes is that I hope they run on them next year because most people in the public don't believe either Democrats or Republicans when it comes to taxes. When they hear a politician promising to lower their taxes, they roll their eyes.
Back to the phones. Now our lines are full. Bill in Superior is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Nice to talk to you, Mr. Winicky.
Hi.
I do not have a bipartisan question either. I'm definitely a Democrat, and I'm questioning why the Democratic Party hasn't learned from the Republicans to frame their policy initiatives in terms of national security.
You're talking more on a national level, though, right?
Well, I suppose you could say that, but even this healthy Wisconsin, I mean, we are going to have a generation of healthy young men and women to protect this country.
Oh, I get you what you're saying. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea, because I was thinking when you first said it, was that you were talking about, like, we're supposed to be, like, rabid like they are on things, and it was like, oh, does that mean I have to say that Democrats should support this $1 trillion war in Iraq? And I'd say no, but that's not what you meant,
I don't think that's what I meant at all.
Now I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with the notion. I mean, what you're really saying is what I was talking about, what the Republicans are trying to do is, how do you brand your message?
Exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
I think that's a fair point. I think the Republicans have beaten Democrats over the head on that security issue, and I think you make a good point, Bill.
Thanks very much, Bill, for the call. Carol in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I have two, in the eternal scheme of things, they're probably two minor points, and they might go to process. But one was what I heard on Ben Maron's show last night about the pork that had been added to the budget, someplace having a cultural venue sponsored and another in Kenosha, some signage being moved. And that, in view of all the Republicans saying no taxes and that's all you hear, I'd like to know, will we ever know who sponsored or who got in such items that clearly do not benefit the general people?
Right.
And then my second point is what I heard on TV last night, that it slipped in that grocery stores could allow patrons to sample hard liquor.
I think it's an ounce and a half. It's like a beer and a half.
Give me a break.
And nobody's admitting to that one.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It says the Wire was mentioning that maybe it was a way for lawmakers to apologize for the long delay and that they slipped this in.
Well, I do know where the Mars Cheese Factory sign came from. That came from Jim Cruiser, and he was free to admit it. He said, look, it's their constituent. They're out there. You know what? That's that big cheese store out on 94 heading towards Illinois. And that stuff happens, and I actually think that's the price you have to pay to get 50 votes sometimes, is you throw in a couple of this. Now, this liquor thing, I suspect if there's any item that might be ripe for a veto, it could be this one, since nobody will admit where it came from.
Oh.
The governor didn't say he wouldn't veto anything.
He said few vetoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think what basically, he had an agreement with Speaker Hipsch and with Majority Leader Robson that the vetoes would be very limited, and if they were in the framework, the issue on vetoes always should be, if you told somebody you wouldn't do it, don't lie. And I think if the governor told Speaker Hipsch or Majority Leader Robson he wouldn't veto this, 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 and this, he won't. But if some of these other items that he probably didn't even know were in there, I think he's got every right to look at his veto pen for the good of the taxpayer.
So that sampling of booze at grocery stores might be
vetoed. I think it's an ounce and a half. Yeah. That's a pretty good drink.
Yeah, that's like a shot at least.
Shot and a half.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. it seems odd for the budget. There were some other...
I don't know. Back about 20 years ago in one budget, I got the American Players Theater a liquor license, so...
So you porked up
I was the one who got them their wine. Actually, it was a wine light. No, it was a liquor license because I wanted to help the Shakespearean repertory people. And then Clarenbach threw in something for somebody else out there. So
I saw a story that said there was some highway project in Fond du Lac, in the Fond du Lac area. That
I think it's Highway 23.
Yeah, the DOT didn't think was even needed until...
Well, if it is Highway 23, yes, it is needed. I just think the DOT must not ever drive on it.
Yeah, I think I've been on that highway. Dave in Racine is with us next. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, Joel. Just had a question. If you thought there was any hope to revive the KRM line in Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee, I was very disappointed that didn't get through. I thought this would have been a good economic development tool, and I'm quite upset by Assemblyman Robin Voss's duplicitous his comments in yesterday's Journal Sentinel. Well, it was a good idea. Well, then why didn't he vote for it? It would have directly helped his constituency. Do you think there's any hope of reviving that?
Yeah, this is the rail line.
Yeah, this is the rail line that was going to be paid for. I believe it was a $13 increase in rental car fees in that area. It'll come back. I mean, while Robin Voss didn't fight for it, Jim Cruiser fought as hard as... This was his number one priority in the budget from over your next-door neighbor in Kenosha. Once again, they're trying to argue it's a tax. Here's, Dave, my belief is we can't just fund government forever without admitting how we're going to pay for government. And if this is a case where it may be or not be the best revenue source to do that, but at least they were funding the program. There's no question if you put a rail line between Milwaukee and Chicago, it's going to benefit everybody in that corridor. No question.
We're talking with Joe Winicky. He's the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, giving us his assessment of the state budget passed last night in the legislature. We welcome your questions about what's in this, what's not, the winners, the losers, your reactions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Coming up after 8, I'll talk with a guest about President Bush asking for an additional $46 billion for funding the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, making the total war funding request to $196 billion. Democrats in Congress are saying they're not going to rubber stamp this approval, and we will talk more about that coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, talking with Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, about the state budget, which was passed last night. And it says here, Joe, minutes after voting to pass the long-delayed state budget, Senate Democrats met to discuss whether Senate Senator Judy Robson of Beloit should continue to serve as their leader. The 18-member caucus did not take a vote to change leaders, meaning Robson remains in charge. But apparently Senate Democrats think they gave up a lot in the budget process and are questioning whether Judy Robson served well as the majority leader. What do you say about that?
Well, not much. I didn't know about it until I read the paper this morning. And having been in closed caucuses in the state Senate on a number of occasions, including contested leadership situations where there was an existing leader, I know there's nothing more personal and sometimes parochial than the internal dealings with a caucus, whether it's a Democratic caucus or Republican caucus. I don't really know enough to say much about it other than I thought the timing seemed a little odd.
Yeah. Well, do you agree that if the Senate Democrats indeed believe they gave up a lot in the budget process, do you think Democrats gave up a lot in the budget process?
Well, in the Senate, they passed pretty much what the governor wanted and then added Healthy Wisconsin. I mean, sure, there's a few little items, you know, for this legislator or that legislator, and they lost Healthy Wisconsin. And I think that has to sting for some people. But, you know, when it comes back to it, I don't know what's going to happen in that caucus. I have great respect for Judy Robson. I have great respect for Russ Decker. I have great respect for John Erpenbach and all the members of that caucus. Well, probably one or two I wouldn't admit to, but that's okay. But I won't say who they are.
Well, it says Robson did not comment on this, but her spokesperson, Josh Westcott, says the party is moving forward united, and Senator Bob Jock of Poplar had the same message. So,
proper message. They're on message anyway.
Fred in Wisconsin Rapids is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, boy. I've got a million questions to ask.
You only get time for a few, though.
I know. One question is, what's going to happen to any of these bills that are being introduced to force them to have a budget in the future within the time frame?
Sure.
What is going to happen with this $900 million shortfall in this budget? It'll be passed on to the next budget. And then real quick, it's just unbelievable to me that they would not pass the hospital tax when the Hospital Association endorsed it, and hospitals would get millions and millions of dollars in additional federal funds.
Yeah, and that one's coming back, Joe. When it
I hope it comes back. The hospitals need it. They're willing to have the assessment upon themselves, and it's a way to get. I mean, it's a way to get more than $500 million for health care in this state. I don't know what the Republicans are thinking on this. I think they're mad at the Hospital Association.
Maybe.
To be honest, that the hospital they think that somehow the Hospital Association tubed them. I think what happened is there were a couple of modest changes to the proposal, including a 2-year. Time limit on it that made it acceptable to the Hospital Association. But
yeah.
So
the Republicans, though, were painting that as a tax on sick people,
which is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they I think sometimes they believe their own rhetoric and they should quit that.
What about this $900 million shortfall?
All I can say is it's less than it was 2 years ago and it was less than it was 2 years before. I don't like what we've been doing for over a decade in this area. I think I've always believed that the public will accept what it costs if you sell it properly. And this is a continuation where we end load spending again. I would actually argue that the Republicans tried to end load a lot more spending than the Democrats did. Their budget was in this $900 million range. The governor was about $650 million. Now, that doesn't mean the governor was perfect either. It just means they was better than the Republicans were, and we ended up about $892 million. On the third point, I'm one who believes we should drastically change the budget process, but not in the way that I keep reading about, oh, we're going to take away per diems or stop somebody's paycheck. I think we ought to do like Michigan did.
Shut
we ought to just say, shut it down. If you don't have a budget at the end time, shut it down. What happened in Michigan? And they've got split government, by the way. They've got a Democratic governor and one, just like Wisconsin. On the first day after the government shutdown started at 4:18 in the morning, so it took 4 hours and 18 minutes, they adopted a budget.
Yeah, because of the threat.
This notion that the Republicans keep having that there's no penalty for not passing a budget. I believe that every single day we didn't have a budget. So when it's July 2nd, I'd argue that comes off June 30th. And then, you know, July 3rd is June 29th. And it keeps coming back. We would have had a major fiscal crisis in this state by March or April of this year, and I still will argue because we lost 4 months of transportation revenues, a lot of projects that might have been started before will not get started next year.
What about arresting lawmakers? That was a good one. That was a proposal. No one's proposing, actually, shutting down government.
No, just me. And, but I don't have a vote. I just think, look what happened in Michigan. They got it done in 4 hours, not 4 months.
Yeah. Speaking of transportation, we're going to, pay more for vehicle registration fees, increasing from $55 to $75, driver's license $10 more, the fee to title a vehicle up about $25. That's going to fund transportation then adequately?
By and large. Thanks to Russ Decker and organized labor, I would argue, the transportation fund is not in too bad a shape. It would have been in bad shape if the Assembly Republican plan had passed. Compromise occurred. I guess the only thing I would say about transportation is I think it's going to be relatively adequately funded in the next 2 years. But at some point, we've got to get away from the notion that we can fund our highway system and our buses on gas taxes and vehicle registration fees only, because as higher CAFE standards at the federal level come in, as we change away from our dependence on foreign oil, which is going to happen, the gas tax is going to become a declining revenue stream. And I don't think people want to pay $500 to register their car.
Now we'll go to Richard in Black River Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Is there any credence to the news reports this AM that the state retirement fund was raided in order to pass the state budget? And if so, how much was taken? I'll listen to your comments after I hang up. Thank you.
All right.
Richard, I haven't heard that one. I'd be stunned, because the last time we tried to raid the transportation fund, retirement fund, it happened about 20 years ago, and all legislators got was a lot of egg on their face. So I'd be surprised, but I can't answer, Richard, because I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have Leo try to look that up. I hadn't heard that.
Maybe
you're confusing the rating of that patient to compensation fund.
Don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. What about?
I hope he's wrong.
Yeah. Well, we'll look it up. What about how state employees are treated okay in this budget?
Not now they are.
They weren't going to be, though?
Well, I mean, what are these guys thinking? I mean, if I was Marty Beal, the head of the State Employees Union, I would have pulled out every hair I've gotten. Marty's a big bear with a lot of hair.
He does, yeah.
First, they take away the compensation reserve so that if you're a public employee, a state employee, you're not supposed to get any money. Then they take the first 5% of your income and say you're going to have to pay the first 5% of your pension, even though it's been, you know, opposite that forever. Then they say we're going to double your health care premium. Mm-hmm. Well, the average state employee was going to see about an 8% pay cut mm-hmm. next year. Well, come on. So in the end, adults got in the room. Thank you to the governor and the Democratic leadership, because state employees are not going to have that pension hit. They're not going to have the compensation reserve hit. They're not going to get that doubling of the health care mm-hmm. premium. Those things should be negotiated and dealt with. And just because Steve Noss and Robin Voss and a couple of those other right-wingers don't like government employees, you shouldn't always pick on them.
Bob in Darlington is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, morning, Joy and Joe. My question, I know the K-12 schools came out okay in this budget, but I guess my question is, I teach in a small rural high school, and I just wondered if the consolidation word is still hot, with the shortfall in 2 years of the $900 million and so forth, if what's going on that front, if you'd know?
Well, I know some of it. Bob, I wish I could tell you more. The funding is there, but they kind of got a little cute on some of it. Some of it's going into some sort of first dollar levy credit. And to be honest, since this stuff's only been out for a day, I haven't been able to figure out the formula. And I'm a wonk on this stuff. I like to know how it works. Mm-hmm. Why, I don't know. It makes me sleep at night. But there is a continuation, I think, of a concern that if you're a rural school, you may also be a declining enrollment school. Mm-hmm. And these revenue caps that are currently in place are putting more and more pressure on these schools. You can't, and you know, when the cost of heating the usually older buildings goes up, and the transportation costs go up, and the costs for health care go up, these schools are in a crisis, and we got to deal with it, and we haven't been.
Yeah, and our property tax bills are, there's going to be a cap on how much they can go up, and maybe, what was it, $80?
I think it was $80 this mm-hmm. year and $18 next year. You know, if I ever got only an $80 increase on my property tax bill, I'd be happy as could be, because it never works that way for me.
I guess I'm not average, huh?
I don't know. I mean, quickly, I know we're almost out of time. Mm. Someday we're going to figure out that the state should not be the dominant player in the property tax debate, and we should give local governments the tools to raise their own money, because this situation where we give 60% of our budget to local governments only to see a, and we're bragging about an $80 tax hike, I think the locals could do better on their own.
You know, we only have a minute to go, Joe, but now that it's the, you know, the fall legislative session, what legislation are you looking to see pass?
Well, I think you're going to start seeing people's pet projects start moving forward finally. You know, I'll get some of your listeners mad. I suspect that the video competition bill will come forward. I expect that we will see a return to the Medicaid-Medicare debate. I think we will see the Healthy Wisconsin debate. You know, we're halfway through the session, and there's a lot of pent-up demand by 132 people, so I think you'll see a lot of little oinkers.
Well, we will look forward to talking more about those oinkers with you down the road. Thanks, Joe Winicky, for being with us.
You're welcome.
Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and we will get a Republican Party take on these budget issues down the road. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and for on-air production and for making that
excellent
coffee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.